Welcome to this beginner Ableton Live 12 lesson on building a vinyl heat sampler rack, carve blueprint for minimal, CPU jungle and old school drum and bass vibes. Today we are making a break tool that feels dusty, warm and playable, without turning your session into a CPU disaster. The whole idea is simple: use one good break sample, shape it with a few smart stock devices, and keep the workflow fast enough that you can keep writing music instead of freezing plugins every 5 minutes. So let's get into it. First, choose a break sample that already has life in it. Think Amen, think Apache or any dusty vinyl style loop with solid transients. You want something that has movement, not something overprocessed and shiny. A sample that is fairly dry, with clear kick, snare, and hat to tail, is going to give you much better results here. Now in Ableton Live 12, create a MIDI track and drop in a drum rack. Then load Simpler onto one pad and drag your break sample into Simpler. For this kind of setup, use Classic Mode in Simpler. Keep Warp off for now if the sample already fits well enough. Set Trigger to Gate and keep Voices at 1 so you stay lightweight on CPU. That single setting matters more than a lot of beginners realize, because you do not need a huge, polyphonic sampler just to work a break. At this point, you have the core of the rack. Now let's make the break playable. If you want the most CPU-efficient route, keep one sample in Simpler and program MIDI notes to trigger it. That means you can chop the rhythm manually, use short note lengths, and create your own break pattern without loading up a bunch of extra slices. If you want a more classic jungle workflow, you can also slice the break to a new MIDI track. Right-click the audio clip, choose Slice to New MIDI Track, and slice by transients. That gives you a drum rack full of slices, which is great for fast edits and chopped up programming. It is a little heavier than using one Simpler, though, so if minimal CPU is the goal, keep that in mind. Now for the sound shaping part, which is where the vinyl heat vibe really comes alive. Start with EQ8. Use it for basic carve. High pass gently around 25 to 35 Hz to clear out useless rumble. If the break sounds boxy or cloudy, make a small cut somewhere around 200 to 400 Hz. If you want the snare to pop a little more, add a light boost around 3 to 6 kHz. And if the loop feels too bright or modern, gently roll off a bit of the top end above 10 kHz. Keep this subtle. We are not trying to make it sound perfect. We are trying to make it sound right. Next, add saturator. This is one of the main ingredients for that vinyl heat feeling. Push the drive somewhere around 2 to 6 dB. Turn soft clip on, and then trim the output so you are not just making the signal louder. Saturation adds harmonic dirt, thickens the break, and helps soften transients in a musical way. That is a big part of the classic jungle texture. After that, try drum bus. This device is excellent for old school punch and grime. Start with modest drive, maybe around 5 to 15%, and keep crunch fairly low at first, maybe 5 to 20%. Use boom carefully, because too much low-end boost can make the kick huge in a bad way. A little transient shaping here can really help the break feel more finished and more aggressive. Then use utility. This one is easy to overlook, but it helps a lot with gain staging and width control. If the break feels too wide, narrow it slightly. If the rack is running too hot, pull the gain down a bit. This is one of those quiet, boring moves that makes the whole chain work better. Now let's build the carve blueprint using rack chains. A really practical beginner approach is to create an audio effect rack after the break processing and set up a few simple chains with clear names. You do not need a dozen chains, just enough to give yourself options. You might have a dry chain, a heat chain, a carve chain, and a dirt chain. If you want, you can also add an air control chain for taming sharp highs. The point is not to stack everything at once. The point is to be able to blend the flavor you need without adding heavy processing everywhere. For the dry chain, keep it almost clean. Maybe just a light corrective EQ, nothing more. For the heat chain, add a saturator with a few dB of drive and maybe a tiny low mid cut if things get thick. For the carve chain, use a EQ8 with a rumble cut, a small dip in the muddy low mids, and a slight boost where the snare needs presence. For the dirt chain, combine saturator and drum bus, and if you really want a little sampler style crunch, you can add redux very lightly. Just be careful, because redux can get nasty fast. A little goes a long way. If the hats are too sharp, the air control chain can gently take the edge off with a high shelf cut or a top end roll off. That helps the break sit under a dark bass line instead of fighting it. Now add a filter for movement. Auto filter is perfect here. Put it after the rack and use either low pass or band pass depending on the vibe you want. For darker sections, start the cutoff somewhere around 8 to 12 kHz and automate it down for an intro or breakdown. Keep resonance moderate or low. If you want, A small amount of LFO or envelope movement can add life, but do not overdo it. In jungle and old school DNB, a simple filter move can create a lot of tension without needing extra layers. Next, tighten the brake with some transient control. Drum bus can do some of that for you already, but glue compressor is also great if you want the drum loop to feel a little more glued together. Start with a slow to medium attack, auto release or around 0.3 to 0.6 seconds, and keep gain reduction light, around 1 to 3 dB max. You want cohesion, not a flattened loop with no personality. That personality is important. Old school drum and bass lives in the swing, the bite, and the little imperfections. If the break starts feeling dead after processing, back off. Trust the transient shape. Trust the shuffle. Jungle is supposed to breathe. Now let's talk about programming the rhythm. A classic approach is to let the break carry the main groove, then support it with a solid snare on 2 and 4 if needed. Add ghost notes around the snare. Let some kicks stay a little inconsistent. That human unevenness is part of the energy. For a simple 2-bar pattern, try a strong first bar with a core break pattern, then in the second bar introduce variation. Maybe remove a kick, add a ghost snare, throw in a hat skip, or place a late percussion hit before the next phrase. Tiny changes matter a lot. Swing can help too. If you use MIDI groove in Ableton, try a small amount of MPC-style swing. Just a little. The goal is loose, not sloppy. Now make room for the bass, because this is crucial. The break should not fight the sub. Keep the deepest low end around 30 to 60 Hz available for the bass line. Clean up mud around 150 to 400 Hz if needed. If the snare is getting lost, a tiny boost around 180 to 220 Hz might help, but be subtle. If the hats are poking too hard, tame the 8 to 10 kHz region. Then check your bass track too, because drums and bass and DNB need to feel like one engine. Once the rack sounds right, save it as a custom rack. Give it a name you will actually recognize later, something like Vinyl Heat Break Rack or Old School DNB Break Tool. Saving your own rack is one of the best habits you can build, because it turns a one-off setup into a repeatable workflow. A couple of big beginner mistakes to avoid here. Do not overprocess the break. Too much saturation, compression, reverb, or widening will kill the snap and shuffle. Do not load too many heavy plugins either. Ableton stock devices are more than enough for this job. Do not high pass the low end so aggressively that the kick disappears. And do not forget to check the break in context with the bass. A loop that sounds amazing solo can fall apart in the full mix. If you want a darker, heavier vibe, roll off a little more top end, emphasize the gritty mid-range, and use saturation more than bright compression. A tiny bit of redux or erosion can add texture, but treat those like seasoning. You can also layer a ghost kick quietly under the break if it needs more weight. Here is a really powerful trick. Resample your best break loop once it is working. Record the processed output to audio, then chop that rendered loop and load it back into a fresh sampler or drum rack. That is classic jungle workflow, and it is also very CPU friendly. Print it, cut it, and move on. That is how a lot of great drum and bass energy gets made. For arrangement, think in states of energy. You can have a filtered break for the intro, a fuller break for the main groove, a heavier, dirtier version for the drop, and then a variation or fill before the next section. A good 16-bar idea might be filtered break for the first 4 bars, full break with light bass for the next 4, main drop energy in the following section, and then a fill or breakdown leading at the end. You do not need constant new sounds. You need smart evolution. As a quick practice challenge, try this. Build a 2-bar jungle break rack using one break sample, EQ8, saturator, drum bus, and auto filter. Keep the device count low. Make it dusty, punchy, and slightly dark. Program at least one snare variation, one ghost hit, and one fill or skip. If you can get that working, you are already thinking like a drum and bass producer. So let's recap the core idea. Use one strong break sample. Shape it with EQ8, saturator, drum bus, and utility. Keep the rack simple and modular. Leave space for the sub-bass. Use filter automation for movement. Save the rack so you can reuse it. The big mindset here is that in jungle and old-school DNB, the magic is usually in the break choice, the groove, the carve, and the resample, not in stacking huge chains of plugins. Keep it lean, keep it gritty, and keep it musical. And if you want, after this lesson, you can take the next step by printing your rack into audio and building a full 16-bar arrangement from that one loop.